This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and this morning I'm joined by our planning director for the City of Buffalo, Terry Acey. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So we're going to talk about affordable housing,
okay.
Which is an issue which I think many individuals and entities in town have been grappling with. We know that there are a number of sectors in our community that have not been able to fill employment positions because people who are attracted and who are well qualified and maybe even are offered the positions in this community are not able to find housing to move in. And as you have pointed out, I've heard you say that we not only have a housing problem, but that then leads to an employee issue, which then leads to a wage war and a bidding crisis for wages, and wages escalate. So we have, it's a number of different problems that basically spawn out of a lack of housing.
Yeah.
And there are two particular types of housing that we do not have in our community right now. We have very low income affordable housing for those lower income jobs, and then we also have a lack of housing for those younger professionals who maybe are already on their ladder. They may be, you know, a teacher and a nurse. They maybe have a couple of kids and they want to just move to a nice home that then they hope to kind of scale up in the traditional manner that we've become accustomed to. So there are two types of housing that we seem to be lacking in our community right now. And there are various entities, the school district for one, the healthcare centre for another, is crying out for places for people to live, to fulfil the jobs that they're well qualified and want to come and do here. So that is the nub of the issue.
Right. Yeah, I would say so.
Mm-hmm. So there is a proposal on the table, and this is something that was discussed at the City Council meeting last week and is about to come up at the next meeting on August the 15th, which is to lease an acre and a half or so at the end of Burrett Avenue on the corner of Cemetery Road there, and to develop that into a single building, 24-unit, low-income housing property. And there are a number of issues that I think people want to know about with that. First of all, why a lease?
So as far as the land, cities being able to sell land, that's where it gets tricky. Is we can't.
So the city owns the land.
The city owns the land. It's owned by the city. And the reason that I've asked council to get involved with city land is what Housing Solutions, they're the company that are proposing to do this 24-unit apartment building, is they go to a WCDM Wyoming Business Council, not Wyoming Business Council. Wyoming Community Development Council, and they get a loan. It's a tax credit loan to do these projects. And so Housing Solutions is one company that's putting in for these credits. And so they may have 20 applications from around the state of Wyoming from different people like Housing Solutions. And so what they do is they grade these applications, they score them on several different things, but one of them being community support. So so that's where I encourage council to reach out and maybe try to lease this land, is because if we show that we are backing this that much, we need this housing, we're willing to lease them this land. On a 99-year lease, I mean, I think you don't get any more supportive than that, saying, hey, we need this so bad, here's a chunk of land, put it on there so we can get some housing going in Buffalo. And so that's where I came to the housing, and said, hey, Al's council, we have some land, it's an issue. And so what they've done is come to council.
So let's just pause for a moment there. I'd like to come back to the lease question, but to be clear, Housing Solutions are a private property developer who have experience in Wyoming of building low-income housing. I believe that they've done that in Cody and some other communities. So
Correct. They're
an experienced developer who see an opportunity here in Buffalo and have identified a piece of land which fits the criteria to get those incentives for the tax credits.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so to go back to a lease, why doesn't the city just sell the land?
So to sell it, we have to go through a bidding process, basically. We can't just say, I couldn't just say, okay, Kate, we'll sell just you this land, you know, for this much. We basically got to open the doors to everybody. We got to say, okay, well, if we're going to sell it, everybody gets a fair chance at it. And that's kind of just how it works with city land, government-owned land. We can't just pick a guy and say, only you can, we'll sell it to you for this much. It basically, we got to open up everybody, and it becomes a bidding process. And in that bidding process, of course, then the price goes up, and it's the highest bidder that gets the...
And then it doesn't, and then that takes away from it becoming possible to be affordable housing.
Right.
It just becomes highest bidder, and a developer could do that. Or even, even just one individual could...
Well, yeah, you get it'd be the highest bidder. It becomes unaffordable, and then two, the guy that gets it might not want. He has nothing to do with affordable housing. He's just buying it just to buy it, or is going to put something totally different. So we're trying to meet this specific need of housing, and so we wanted to go towards housing if they do it to build the houses on. So it's not just someone buying it and putting I don't know what else you put there, but you know, different things. And so that's why the lease option is. It becomes very tricky to sell them outright.
But lease options themselves can be tricky down the road. As you know, you've ended up with a property which is built and owned by somebody else because the city wouldn't be the owner and manager and real estate developer. And then it's sitting on a piece of property which is owned by somebody else. And so what happens in 50, 60, 99 years, what happens then?
So 99 years, what they're looking at is a 99-year lease, and so at that time, it would have to come back to council, whoever the council is at that time, to renew or not. You know, I guess they could choose not to. It's pretty much, you know, and then it would become property of the city, I mean, back to it, but then they would be managing that asset, or, you know, who knows what that looks like in 99 years, if it's, you know, hopefully it's still there in good shape and thriving, but you never know, those kind of circumstances could change.
And is there a price tag currently being discussed associated with that lease arrangement? How much would the city potentially be leasing that piece of property for?
It's something, there's got to be, I think, an amount there, and I believe it's something like $100 a year or something like that.
So very small
amounts
of money, really, just to kind of enable
enable
the process. And so what do we know about the actual 24-unit building itself? Who would qualify to live there? What kind of a premises would it be? What do we know about that?
So what they're proposing is, it's very similar to the one they're built in Cody. It's 24 units. It's going to be 14 units are going to be 2-bedroom units, and then 10 units will be a 3-bedroom unit apartment. It's based off of income and family size. So it's all, rent is based off of income. I mean, they're saying anyone, they gave me a list here, and just off the top of my head, it's close to the right under $50,000 range. If you have a kid and you make under the 50, you're going to qualify for one of these.
So we're talking about really very low income housing and apartment style living.
It's apartment style. It is lower income. I mean, 50, you're looking at probably the higher end is going to be the 50,000 cutoff, where you're not going to qualify anything over that. But it also depends, if you have three kids, then that bumps you up to where you do qualify, you know. So there's some different things to look at there, because it's income and size of household based, how they figure who qualifies and who doesn't qualify.
So it would probably be more appropriate, for example, just to kind of pluck a profession out of the air here, a CNA or a custodian or somebody like that, rather than a teacher and a nurse couple with a couple of kids.
It may and may not. I don't, you know, not knowing what they're starting. I know I did visit with the school superintendent, Charlosky, on this, and he kind of looked at that. I gave him the print off of 104, and he seemed like that would work for a lot of his staff. So I don't know which staff those are, but incoming staff he had. And, you know, so it seems like it's going to fit a wide range of people. You're younger, just getting going, you know, folks like that are going to, you know, that's what we need, is the, you know, the low, the income, the working class to come in. We need more workers is what the problem is. So I think that's going to fit a wide range of that, those trades and everything that you know, that'll help us out there. So.
Okay. And so who is then responsible for that property and managing it? I mean, the location is a beautiful prime location in Buffalo. And, you know, I think everybody takes pride in their neighbourhoods and their environments. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens with, you've got a lot of people living all in one pretty dense area, and we all like to accrue toys of sure. some sort, you know, whether it's a little four-wheeler or a
mm-hmm.
or a boat for the lake in the summer and so on. Is there going to be enough room, and how is that going to be maintained?
So the housing solution will maintain the asset. They'll own the asset. They have a rental management program with one company, and they manage all of their buildings that they've done in the past. And so they'll step in and do that. There is an on-site manager's quarters. So there's a unit that's dedicated just for a full-time manager of the property. And then, like I said, Housing Solutions will hire that company. They come in and they manage the property for them. Now, WCDA, if they get the funds from them, they keep a close eye on it. Is it being maintained? Is everything being kept up with? Is it so? There's kind of a bite behind it. If you don't do this, you know, these guys are constantly applying for this stuff, and so WCDA says, well, these guys aren't doing what they should. We're not going to award them another contract. So they have a risk, you know, of not keeping up with stuff and keeping things looking nice, the chance of not getting any further funding from WCDA. So, like I said, they hire an actual professional company to come in and manage these departments.
There are some safeguards there, but we all know that life changes mm-hmm. and, you know, companies come and go. Housing Solutions have been around for a while, but who knows what's going to happen in the future. What safeguards are there in place should that arrangement fall away for whatever reason? Maybe Housing Solutions cease to exist, or they get merged with another entity. You know, what happens with that then? I think there have been some issues that some people have been concerned about Glencoe Way, which started off, you know, under one banner, you know, being affordable housing, and then that company went away, and now there are some issues out there, mm-hmm. You know, around that area, about just how that area is currently looking and maintained and so on, and that it's diverted away from its original intent. What happens about that?
So I think that's all part of the lease agreement. After we get through the option to lease, if they get the funding, we actually have a lease contract. And I think in there is where we put all our safeguards to. If this defaults, if this goes to here, this goes back to the city, you know, or the city has the option to buy it back, first option to buy it back at a dollar, or whatever that may be, is so that we can control it and then get it to someone else's hands or whatever. I think we put that in that lease agreement where it's not just, well, you can't just sell it to another identity. You know, the city gets the first chance at whatever it may be to buy it back or manage it or do whatever they want. Not that we want to be in the management business of apartments or whatever, but I think you put that'll all be safeguarded in the lease agreement of to what, who gets what if something happened and defaults or changes hands or anything like that. No.
And timing is an issue here. The Wyoming Communities Development Council have a deadline, an application, their annual application deadline coming up. I believe it's at the end of September. And so that is causing this process in Buffalo to be accelerated. I think some people are concerned at the speed with this. It's, you know, last council meeting it was discussed, the next one coming up there is supposedly a decision to be made. You know, why not pause for a year and just make sure that everything is in good order?
I think we're that far behind the ball. I think, you know, we need four of these units, if you ask me, tomorrow. Talking to, like I said, school superintendents, the nursing, the construction trades that don't have work. It's the same, you know, buzzword out of everybody's mouth. It's housing. There's no housing. I can't keep employees. I think you have someone here now willing to put it in and ask for it. I say you back them and you go for it. I think that's just and that's my opinion. And that's from talking to folks in town and everyone, you know, saying housing. We don't have housing. We can't afford it. You know, there's no affordable housing. I can't pay my employees that much for them to afford housing here. And so I think we're that far behind the ball. Like I said, if they would propose two buildings, I would say yes tomorrow. But we needed number three even. And so that's why. And another thing is, this isn't a guarantee. So they put in, they're denied, we're out another year anyway. I mean, so you're hoping, you're backing, we're trying to add this to the pot that, hey, we even got land, so that bumps up Buffalo up to the number one spot as far as WCDA is concerned on their application process. you can sit around, we can wait another year, we can, you know, and then we'll be right back where we were, and now we're just a year behind. I don't know. I mean, they could, and then council, they may say that next meeting. They may say, no, I don't know on that. Like I said, this is just an option to lease. It won't kick in until we know if they get the funding or not.
So do we think that this is, what makes people think that this is the right kind of housing for that particular location?
So as far as the application process goes for the funding is they look at how close it is to the schools, amenities, parks, schools, grocery stores, everything else. And so that's another kind of reason.
Oh, so there are some criteria for that application that it can't just be stuck somewhere out, you know, kind of on the edge of town somewhere. Because there are many other areas outside, you know, on the kind of outskirts of town, or even the business park, you know, currently, which is, you know, vacant and could be developed, but that is a premium piece of property,
right?
It's a premium piece of real estate, right there on the edge of Barrett and Cemetery Road,
right? And again, and so looking at the land the city had and looking at that, that's the one reason I kind of identified that parcel is because where it's located, it will also score higher on the WCDA. That's another scoring range they put on there. And so if you're close to the amenities, the schools, the parks, you know, everything surrounding, that puts your score higher also. So there was some thought going into that, that, yeah, it's a prime piece of property, but at the same time, that's going to bump us up towards, I think, scoring high on there as far as they're concerned in getting awarded those funds. So, you know, I did talk to the school superintendent, Charles Oski, about safety, if he had any issue, you know, concerns, you know, that's going to maybe bump up the traffic a little bit in that area. And you know, his reply was, that's our problem. We will figure that out. If we need to put extra staff out in the morning for crosswalks, crossing guards, whatever we have to do there. But he told me, you know, I would like to reserve 30 of these rooms. I said, well, there's only 24, and unfortunately, that's not how it works. You can't. He's in that big of a need. The school district's in that big of a need for housing that he gave me the 100% two thumbs up on this project.
Have you discussed this with Luke Sandon at Johnson County Healthcare Center?
I have not yet, no.
Okay.
No.
I know that they're an entity that's also crying out for
housing.
And so, Terry, what are the next steps?
So from here, we're going to go next council meeting next Tuesday.
That's August the 15th.
August the 15th.
At 5 p.m.
Mr. Kervin, the city attorney, is going to revise that option to lease contract that they had presented. There was some wording in there he wanted changed. He's going to bring that back to council with the changes that he recommends.
In his capacity as city attorney?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And then from there, they will either vote it up or vote it down on either doing it or not. Like I said, they may, maybe they don't want to do it or do or don't, but that's what we're at now, is they're going to bring back that revised option that they presented last meeting. And then if they yes it, Housing Solutions then will go forward with their plan. They have to do some market studies, order market studies, housing studies, income studies. And so that's where they start putting their money into it and saying, okay, we've got to know, you know, all this stuff for their application process for it, which, like you said, is a time crunch right now, because they actually have to have some of that in by the end of August and then their final application in at the end of September. So it's going to be go, go, go for them if they get the green light.
Okay. And so the City Council, I believe, will also have a period for public comment. So if people have something that they want to come and say about this, if they want their opinion to be heard, there will be oral and written comments during that hearing process as well.
That's right. They'll have a chance to say something for it or against it if they'd like. And then another thing we are going to do is on the agenda for planning and zoning meeting this month, they'll have to be a rezone for the property. Right now, the property is currently zoned R1, which is single family residence, which is kind of by default, all land that comes into the city that's undeveloped comes in as R1, which is the most restrictive. So it's not that it was meant to be R1, it's just everything comes in by default as R1. So right now the property currently sits as R1. We'd have to rezone that to an R3 to do what they're wanting to do.
And presumably that would only need to be discussion with planning and zoning, which I think the meeting is on August the 22nd. That would only happen if the vote for city council is in favor of the of the
correct. Yeah, if they if they accept the proposal to lease, then we will go forward with the meeting for rezoning on the agenda there for that, which all has been sent out. So it, all landowners within 300 feet of that property have been sent a notice saying, "Hey, this could happen. We may be trying to rezone this, you know."
So is it possible that the city council on August the 15th give it the green light, but planning and zoning on August the 27th turn it down?
It could happen. Yeah. I mean, it could. I would hope that we're all kind of, you know, planning and council are kind of on the same wavelength as far as the housing problem or housing right now that we have. So I would hope that they would see it now. You know, you could say that it could get nayed by planning, but then there's also an appeal process that would send it back to council. So in the end, I guess council would have the final say.
And they do have it's essentially works like a right of veto.
Right.
Correct. So that is something else that could happen anyway. So the 15th of August is a critical date for anybody who's interested in this
Absolutely.
Project and this proposal. Thank you very much indeed for explaining in detail what's behind it. I know a lot of people are interested, and some people are very concerned about what it is.
Sure.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry Lacey, for your time.
Hey, you're welcome.